السلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, last week in our bayan we spoke about the life of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. We spoke about his earlier times. We spoke about how he is linked to Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, how that link came about. We also spoke about his earlier years when he was a governor of Medina Munawwara. Then we spoke about his ascension to Khilafat, how he was made the Khalifa. And we spoke about one or two incidents about his fear of Allah. Today I would like to carry on from there. However, always reiterating that one of the reasons why we speak about personalities of the past is not to reminisce, not to just to talk about it with the intention of taking pleasure of the glory of our past. In a certain way, that would not serve us much, because when we talk about great events and personalities of the past, we must do so with the intention of gaining lessons and putting into practice what we learn from great personalities of the past. Now, continuing from where we said that Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh was made the Khalifa. And after he was made the Khalifa, there were many, many great aspects and benefits and reforms that Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh introduced. One of the very first things that he did was he confiscated property that was wrongfully taken from the Baytul Mal and returned it back to the Baytul Mal. This is one of the most important aspects of a person's life, to give back to its rightful owner what it is due. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi has written and he said that it is better to give 600, to give one dirham back to its rightful owner than to give 600,000 dirhams in charity. Let me repeat that. It's better to give one dirham back to his rightful owner than to give 600,000 dirhams in charity. The greatest thing, dusre ke huquq ko wapas kar dena, ye sabse bari neki ki baat hai. More important than any other aspect. That is why the first thing Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi did, give back whatever was wrongfully taken from the Baytul Mal, he gave it back. Interesting thing has been made mention. He had just completed the burial of the previous Khalifa, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, who made him the Khalifa, who appointed him the Khalifa. And after completing the burial, he came into his room, his private quarters, and Umar ibn Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was about to take a rest when his son came to his knock at his door. And his son told him, "Oh my father, what do you intend doing about the things that have been wrongfully taken from the Baytul Mal?" So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi said, "I intend giving it back, but I want to take a rest now. And when I get up, I will do it." So the son said, "Oh my father, can you give me a guarantee that you will remain alive till after you take a rest to restore the property back for you to its rightful owners?" So the father got a shock and he came to his son and he kissed him on his forehead and he said, "Jazakallah, oh my son, for helping me in my responsibility." Subhanallah, if only we can have the father-son relationship in such a way that, we talk about these type of things, helping one another in doing good. Today, what is our situation? Many a times we will talk about to our children about the soccer scores, this happened in this world, this happened in that world. You know, look at this beautiful example. The son telling the father, "Oh my father, can you give me guarantee that when you wake up, you will be alive to return back what has been wrongfully taken back to its rightful owners?" So the father immediately sat down to give back everything which was wrongfully taken back to the Baytul Mal. To the extent that he had a ring which was given to him by the previous Khalifa. he told his servant Mazahim, "Oh Mazahim, take this and give it back to the Baitul Mal." So his slave said, "If you're giving everything back, what are you leaving for yourself and your family?" So he said, "I'm leaving Allah for my family." And history bears testimony to this, brothers. Just look at this. When you do right, how Allah gives you barakah. History bears testimony to this fact that historians narrate, after one or two generations after Umar bin Abdul Aziz, a person walks out of the masjid. He walks out of the masjid and he sees the children of the former khalifas who gave lot of wealth to their children. Those children were begging. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi's children, he did not give anything to his children from the Baytul Mal, coming out of the masjid and dishing out charity. Subhanallah, look at this. This is the barakah of when we do things correct. Nevertheless, many things he did together with that were in his first things he did was state officials were excluded from entering into business. People who were employed by the state, they could not enter into business. They were given commensurate and good remuneration, but they were not allowed to enter into business because obviously they will take advantage of their position, the way we are seeing in present day South Africa. Unpaid labor was made illegal. And this is also another aspect. You could not take work from anyone without paying him what was his due. Pasture lands and game reserve, which were reserved for the family of the officials of the state, were evenly distributed amongst the people of the land. He urged people to listen to the complaints of the people who had against public officials. And he even announced in Hajj, anyone comes with a right complaint, a justified complaint against state officials, he will be giving a reward of 100 to 300 dinars. If you come to a complaint that this person who was a state official did wrong, you will be given 100 to 300 dinars as a reward. One of the amazing things, which was a historical dictum, that you see in that time, the non-Muslims used to pay a tax known as jizya. Now what was the tax? The tax was, because of that tax, the Islamic state would look after the property and the life of the non-Muslims. They were not obliged to go into the army. So because of that tax, people, you know, their life and property was safe. So many people accepted Islam when they saw the justice of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh. Many people, you know, the Berbers of North Africa, many other people, when they saw his justice, they accepted Islam. So the tax collector of Egypt wrote a letter to Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And he said, the tax revenue is coming less because all people are becoming Muslims. So there is no tax to gain. And therefore it's becoming a problem to do the budget. We don't have money to do the budget. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi wrote this remarkable thing. He said, Allah sent Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as rahmatul alameen, not someone to collect tax. Allah sent the Prophet not to collect tax. Allah sent the Prophet to make rahmatul lil alameen. So he said, if everyone accepts Islam, because of which there is no tax, we will cultivate land, but we won't worry, because that is the reason for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood. Subhanallah, look at that vision. Today do we have that type of vision? Subhanallah, look. Many a times people will say, you know, I'm not generalizing, but they say, "Bhai, don't make your laborers Muslim. Eto na kamma pachi, you know, musibata hai. We'll have to look after them." Look at that. Look at the way of thinking. And look at the way of thinking of Umar. He said, never mind if everyone comes and they know tax, we will go look after the land. We will cultivate the land. So this was the aspect with regard to it. One day his wife found him weeping after Salat and said, oh my husband, why are you weeping? He said, I'm thinking about the difficulty people are facing. I'm looking at those people, the poor that are starving. I'm looking at the people who don't have clothes. I'm looking at the prisoners who are strangers and who are in prison. I'm looking at the person who is old, who's got a big family, but can't look after his family. I'm worried, I made the Khalifa. How I'm going to be able to fulfill their needs? And how will I be able to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah with regard to this? He was so cautious with public funds. It is absolutely amazing. You see, one day someone wrote to him and said, I want candlesticks. That time, of course, there was lantern. There was no ESCOM, but ESCOM can learn a lot from this. Nevertheless, what he said, you know, we have candlesticks. We want more candlesticks. So he wrote to this person who was his friend. He said, do you remember the time when we used to walk in the streets of Medina, you didn't have a candlestick, but you managed. Now, why are you insisting upon candlesticks? When people made a requisition to the Baitul Mal for pens and paper, he told the people, be cautious, write with a fine pen. Write with a fine pen. And when you use paper, write closely together that you don't waste paper. Brothers, today, what is our situation with israf and extravagance? Look at the wastage in our homes. Look at the wastage in our nikahs. The food is dumped. And look at what this particular example. He says, write with a fine pen so that the pen is fine, therefore it uses less paper. Write closely together so that you don't have to waste paper and pen and ink. Subhanallah. This is the situation with regard to it. And look at our situation in today's time. This is what we are supposed to learn. We're not only supposed to make mention of his greatness, we are supposed to bring this into our life. Kulu washrabu wala tusrifu. Allah says, eat and drink, but don't be extravagant. Yet the same Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh spent a lot of money in the construction and the beautification of the Masjid an-Nabawi and the Amawi Masjid in Damascus. To such an extent that he brought imported wood in Masjid an-Nabawi. The Urdu, when they talk about it in Urdu, they say sal ki lakri, which I assume would be teak wood. He used teak wood in Masjid an-Nabawi. And someone said, why are you using so much and beautifying the masjid? So he said, look at how the people are living today. Look at how the people are living. People are not living in simple. If they were living simple, I would make the masjid simple. But you are living in luxury and you want to make the masjid a dump. So he spent a lot of money on Masjid an-Nabawi and beautifying the Amawi Masjid in Damascus, which is a historical masjid. However, yet at the same time, he was cautious about unnecessary spending. Maybe we need to get that particular balance right. Never another beautiful aspect about him was regard to his humility. One day he was sitting with few friends when the fuel of the lantern went off. So then, when the fuel of the lantern got off, everyone got up and said, oh, Khalifa, you remain. We will put up the fuel. He said, you don't know where the fuel is. Leave it to me. He went there. He picked up the fuel. He put the fuel. He relit the lantern. And he said, when I got up, I was Umar bin Abdul Aziz. When I returned, I was Umar bin Abdul Aziz. What difference did I make when I had to refuel the lantern? In Gujarati, they say, there's a saying in Gujarati, if you're going to do something, are you going to become, a son of a small parents? If you're going to do something like this, which you think below your dignity? So what did he do? He went to go and refuel the lantern. And he said, when I got up, I was Umar bin Abdul Aziz. When I returned, I was Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Subhanallah, look at that humility. Yet at the same time, he was extremely worried about the moral reformation about his people. Today, by and large, what do the leaders say about morality? They say morality is a private issue which cannot be legislated by the state. That's why they say abortion must be an individual incident. It must be an individual decision. Morality, they regard it to be something that cannot be legislated by the state. But Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh took a special interest in the reformation and the moral and spiritual reformation of the people. He wrote to people about the importance of salat, saying if you have not performed your salat, then you can't practice upon any other aspect of deen. He spoke about at that particular time, in the time of the Amawi Khilafat, the hammams became very popular. Hammams where the bathrooms were. And male and female used to come together in the hammams. And they used to be intermingling. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh put a stop to it. He said that if you have to do it with strict conditions. So he made, one day he wrote a letter to the leader of the Muslim army which was stationed. It contains such beautiful words of advice that it is worthy of us reading and listening to it. He said, adopt taqwa. Taqwa is the best of provisions. He says, sin is more dangerous than the plots of the enemies. Brothers, listen to this man. Today you and I, this one has done this, America has done this, Russia has done this, the Illuminati has done this, and this one has done this. What did he say? Sin of the ummah is more dangerous than the plot of the enemies. He say we overcome our enemies due to their transgression. Due to their transgression and sin. They don't obey Allah, we obey Allah, therefore Allah grant us victory over them. He say they are more superior to us in resources. We cannot compete with them in resources. But if we are equal to them in sin, then they will get the upper hand over us.
Just look at this wide words. We can't compete with them with resources. But if we are going to do the same sin that they are doing, how will Allah's madad come upon us? Then obviously they will gain the upper hand over us. This is what is happening today. So look at this beautiful aspect with regard to his. And that is why Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi wrote to Abu Bakr ibn Hazm. He was the first person to compile the ahadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only did he write to Abu Bakr ibn Hazm to start the compilation of the sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he also took an active interest because he was a scholar in his own right. And he also gave stipends to the muhaddithin who were given the task of compiling the sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today when we read the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are greatly indebted to Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, who put into place the process of compiling the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite his piety, he had tolerance. Many a times people who have piety, sometimes they look down upon people, much to their own detriment. Much to their own detriment. It was not so with Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani sahab, in his one book, Tarashe, he's written one incident. He said, one day, you know, there was a young person who was very anxious in his tahajjud prayers. So when he made tahajjud prayers, he made ishara to the, you know, that everyone is sleeping and I'm making tahajjud. So his father overheard him saying that. So his father said, oh my son, it would have been better for you to sleep rather than making that comment. That I'm making tahajjud, everyone is sleeping. No, what? If you make tahajjud, it's for your own benefit. So the tolerance of, you know, with regard to, he always exhorted people towards good, the non-Muslims, even people who were astray. He made Ghailan Damishki, he made him part of his administration, although he had objectionable views on certain issues. He made him part of his administration. And as long as Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was alive, this Ghailan Damishki did not, you know, propagate his unacceptable or objectionable views. Only after Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi passed away, he then continued making mention with regard to it, where he used to cast doubts on the aspect of takdir. But look at that tolerance. And that is the same tolerance which made people come towards Islam. And that is why it is said that he wrote, you know, letters to 7 Rajas of India, inviting them towards Islam. He had so much concern with regard to non-Muslim subjects that one day in Hira, which was, I think it was in Iraq, one Muslim killed a non-Muslim. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz took an active part and said, that person must be killed in retaliation. So he killed a Muslim in the law of retaliation because he killed a non-Muslim. That was in the time of when the Muslims were in power. Then he came to know that Abbas bin Walid, the son of the Khalifa Walid, had taken the wealth, usurped the wealth of a non-Muslim. He did not rest until he returned that wealth back to the non-Muslim. And this was his particular aspect with regard to his, you know, remarkable aspect. And that is why it was his blessings of his khilafat. You know, what was a blessing? When a person ruled with justice, then you find this particular type of thing that comes in with regard to the blessings. It is said that Abdul Hamid bin Abdul Rahman was a collector of zakat in Iraq. So he wrote to Umar bin Al-Aziz, he said, I've got a lot of zakat, what must I do? He said, give it to the poor. He wrote back, I gave it to the poor, zakat is still overflowing, what must I do? He said, give it to those people who have loans, that they must repay their loans. He gave it to them. He wrote back, he said, everyone who had loans, I gave it to them, no one got loans now in Iraq. What must I do? He said, all the people who want to get married, don't have dowry, don't have money to settle themselves, give them the zakat money. Gave them the zakat money, came back and said, there is still money left. What must I do? He said, all right, now what you do, everyone who has to pay tax, doesn't have money to pay tax, give them the zakat money. The person wrote back and said, I have given them, there is still zakat money outstanding. This is the barakah that happens when people follow justice. The people of the zakat collector of Africa used to say, people used to come to the Baitul Mal and said, we want to give zakat. They said, we don't want to take your zakat. There is no one poor in this particular region. Subhanallah. And you know, this was a barakah with regard to his khilafat. And that's what happens many a times with regard to people who bring about justice. This is a barakah. I read somewhere previously, this time when I did some research, I could not find this. But it is not uncommon. It is part of justice. And I will conclude with this and then make mention of the last stages of his life. It is made mention that, you know, one day a person of the city dweller was traveling through the desert. So when he came upon a shepherd, And he was sitting with a shepherd. And he noticed that the sheep and the wolf were sort of, you know, drinking water together. You know, and he didn't think about it. He said, this is something surprising, but maybe the wolf is not hungry, whatever it is. And he said, while he was doing this, all of a sudden, the wolf attacked the sheep. And the shepherd said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So this person said, why do you say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? That's a natural process. A natural process, wolf attacking the sheep. He said, I'm not saying Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un because of that. I'm saying Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un because Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi has passed away. He said, you are in the desert. What do you know Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi has passed away? He said, Umar's justice had an impact upon animals also. Now that I saw this, I said, Inna lillahi, he has passed away. The person noted the time when he went back to the city. He said, exactly that same time, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi had passed away from this world. Mention is made, he gave remarkable type of advices before he passed away. Time doesn't allow us with regard to it. The Umayyads felt their power and influence was slipping away. Therefore, according to some narrations, you know, they poisoned him. They said, if he's going to rule, what's going to happen? There's going to be no influence, no power, no wealth left for us. Everything is going to be distributed amongst the poor. So therefore, he said that, you know, they poisoned him. And when he was towards the end of his life, you know, he one day told his servant just before he passed away, I always have some ambition. And when I achieve that ambition, I try for something higher. Now I only got one ambition left. And that ambition is to attain Jannah. Then afterwards he called, because of the poison, he was on his deathbed. And mention is made that he kept on smiling while on his deathbed, while reciting the ayat, which are recited at the khutbah, Tilka darul akhirah. نَجْعَلُوَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ غُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. Allah will give Jannah for those people who don't achieve or don't want pomp and splendor in this world and don't want corruption in the earth. And they are the people whom Allah will grant Jannah to. It seems as if he was echoing his entire life when he recited those ayats and he passed away. Mu'abul Hasan Nadwi Rahimullah writes, if Providence would have given him a longer life, then we would have witnessed a complete and lasting revolution changing the course of human history. Wallahi al-Azim, a remarkable human being. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding his greatness. And mention is also made that there is one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that says, after every 100 years, Allah appoints a mujaddid, a reviver of the deen, who revives the deen. And he said, by the very nature, people, ulama have got different lists. Now, who is the reviver of the first century, second century, third century, fourth century? People, ulama have got different lists. But everyone is unanimous that the first reviver in the Muslim Ummah was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah Ali. He revived deen, and today he still remains a standard, even if sometimes we cannot achieve it in practice. He remains a standard for people who have authority, people who are leaders, for you and I in terms of his taqwa and piety. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.